Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 27th day of April 2019. And welcome to those joining us here in the room and on the phone, listening to WLMR radio or the recording. Glad to have you with us in fellowship. Our opening song is titled, Safely Through Another Week. Wonderful hymn. Praise God for his divine protection and wondrous loving care in bringing us safely to another Sabbath day to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest.
Mercies multiplied each hour, through the week our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. How ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. How ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
While we pray for pardoning grace, through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciled face, shine away our sin and shame. From our worldly care set free, may we rest this night with thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast.
May the gospel joyful sound conquer sinners, conquer saints. May the fruit of grace abound, bring relief to all complain. Though may all our service prove, till we join the church above. Though may all our sabbaths prove, till we join the church above.
Amen. And keeping the Sabbath here on earth is the prelude to keeping the Sabbath throughout eternity. And what a joy it is to begin now that we may continue later. Well, now it's time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service today? Please go right ahead.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for another Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day of praising you, a day of discovering anew all of the beauties that you have created. And please, dear Lord, dwell in our hearts today. Open our ears to the words of truth. Send the Holy Spirit to speak with Elder Bob. And may each word ring true in our hearts and inspire us during the week until we can meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Well, this is part two in our series, The Divine Law. And last time we discovered that God considered his law to be of such importance that he wouldn't allow any human being to first tell it to others, but he personally spoke each one of these Ten Commandments with his own voice and wrote these with his own finger onto two tables of stone. And this was done in the hearing of the people as well as in their sight. And so these Ten Commandments came directly from God and not man. And this proves that this law was not the product of the minds of men, but was from the mind of God. And also, since these Ten Commandments were written with God's own finger in stone instead of on paper or cloth, revealed that God considered his law to be permanent and unchanging. And so these commandments were his covenant or agreement with the people that he would be their God and they would be his people if they would keep and perform all 10 of these commandments. We also learned last time that the God who spoke this law in the hearing of the Israelites was not God the Father, but was the mighty Lord God Michael, who is also the Word, the great Prince, the great I Am, and who became Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, the way, the truth, and the life, when he should be born into human flesh. And we were also able to examine just the first commandment and discovered that there were to be no other gods of the earth worshipped other than just the Lord God, Jesus Christ, alone. But now what do the rest of the commandments of this great divine law from God reveal about his infinite wisdom and character? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And those that would like to follow along with the notes, the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1978.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1978.htm. And if you look at quote number one, the second commandment of God is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And this is Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6. Now, this second commandment of this divine law revealed how the Lord God wanted to be worshipped. And he declared that the people were not to make any graven image or likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And this was because Michael was the great living God who had created and upheld all things, and therefore was above all created things. He was the creator of all things and therefore was greater than all created things. So this meant that nothing which he had created could correctly represent all that he is. So then to make an idol or image of something which he'd created and then believe that this item represented or symbolized the great I am would only work to lessen and limit God's infinite majesty and greatness. This idol or image of the created thing would be so far from the actual truth and so far off the mark of correctly representing God that it would only mislead souls into error and falsehood regarding exactly who he is. So to make an idol or image of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast, of any winged fowl, of anything that creepeth on the ground, of any fish, or even of the sun and the moon and the stars, as we're told in Deuteronomy 4, verses 16 through 19, would only work to take the eyes of the people off of the Creator himself and focus them instead upon the creation itself. So then the great and mighty Lord God would be made to appear no greater than the created thing which the idol or image depicted. And since the idol itself cannot speak, it cannot hear or answer or move, because it's lifeless and dead, then the people would be led to believe the same about God. So that was the danger there. Now, in regards to any pagan image or idol that had already been formed, because the children of Israel had come from Egypt and now were going into land that pagans basically inhabited. So any pagan image or idol that had already been formed, God further declared that he did not want the people to bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And this was because just as a husband jealously refuses to allow the affections of his covenant-bound wife to be shared with another man, so Michael stated that I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God who also refuses to allow the worship and affections of his covenant-bound wife or people to be shared with another god of the pagans. And basically with Lucifer, whom all these pagan gods represented and symbolized. So this meant that God did not forbid all images or all statues or pictures from being made, but just those which were believed to be or were worshipped as a sacred representation of any god, including himself. That's why God did not allow the people to see his actual form or any manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you on Mount Sinai, which is Deuteronomy 4:15. But they could only see the fire that God was in and hidden by, as well as to hear his voice. So the people didn't see any shape or form of God. Because if they would have seen his actual form, then they would eventually be led to forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image of what they saw the Lord look like. So to prevent that from occurring, the people were not allowed to see the image or form of God. Now, if you look at quote number two, also connected with this second commandment was God declared that he was the one who either punishes the disobedient or blesses the obedient. And this is because since God is the creator and author of all things, then he has the right and authority to either bless or punish all things. But instead of being arbitrary and doling out these good or bad rewards, irrespective of whether they were merited, Michael instead blesses or punishes according to the actions which people themselves choose to perform. But in order to justly determine who is indeed worthy of reward based upon their actions, then their actions must be compared to or judged by some standard. And to be completely unbiased, this standard must be openly available for all to learn about, as it would be really unfair to punish someone who had no way of knowing that their actions were displeasing God because they didn't comply with this unrevealed standard. So this is one of the main reasons why the Lord God Michael openly provided his Ten Commandment law by both speaking it in the hearing and then writing it in stone, so that his people could understand this law to be the standard by which all people would be judged according to their works and actions. And that was the only way to justly determine whether people deserved his blessings or his cursings, based upon whether they obeyed or disobeyed his law. But it was not just the Israelites that are held to this standard. Since Michael's the creator of all mankind, and he'd openly declared his law, then all people of the earth would be held to the same one standard of law. So this means that if any person could know what this righteous standard of God's law was, then they could compare their lives to it and see for themselves whether they were pleasing or displeasing God. And this would be irregardless of whether they were Israelite or from another race. And more importantly, if they found that their actions were displeasing to God because they were breaking his law, would they manifest sorrow and repentance because of their sinful actions? Or would they choose to continue disobeying God? Would they choose to repent and change their lives? Or would they continue on in sin? So with God's great standard of law within sight and knowledge of each and every human being, God could not be charged with being arbitrary, deciding who's going to receive his curses for that day or blessings. But the people themselves would decide whether they wanted God's blessing or his cursings, depending on their choice. And ultimately, each person would decide for themselves what their destiny was going to be at the final judgment, either eternal life or eternal death, all based upon being judged by the standard of God's law compared with their own choice to obey or disobey. We're told in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 to 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, not just Israelite. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that is some of the wisdom of God found in this second commandment of his divine law. But what insights can we find in the third commandment of the Lord God? And if you look at quote number 3, the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And this is Exodus 20, verse 7. Now, this third commandment of this divine law revealed how God wanted his people to communicate to him or about him, declaring that the people were not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and any who did would not be held guiltless. So this meant that God's followers were not to use his name in a light or frivolous manner in their communications. But when they were speaking to, or speaking or writing about God, they were to respect and honor his name. But the mighty Lord God had never revealed his name of Michael to any of his people at any time up to that point in time, but had instead always gave them a general name like God or Lord. So then this commandment means something more than just not taking God's literal name in vain. So what does this mean? The Hebrew word for name that's used in this commandment is Shem. And this name translates and means a mark or memorial of individuality, character. And this is from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 8034. So this shows us that the name that God did not want his people to take in vain was not just his general or even actual name, but it was his character. And his character or his name was a mark or memorial of his individuality from all the other so-called gods. So this shows us that God's name represents his character. So then, as this is true, how could people take God's name in vain? How could they take his character in vain? The Hebrew word for take in this commandment is nakah. And this word translates and means to lift, accept, advance, bear, carry, hold up, respect, and wear. This is Strong's word number 5375. And the Hebrew word for vain is shav. And this word translates and means deceptive, false, lying. This is Strong's word number 7723. So this shows that instead of this third commandment only forbidding the irreverent usage of God's literal or descriptive name, it more importantly forbids his people from being deceptive or false or lying about his character. God had separated his people from all the other pagan nations, and he brought them into a special covenant relationship with himself. So they were no longer to worship any pagan gods. They were no longer to abide by pagan laws or practices, rules, rituals, etc. But now they were to worship only the mighty Lord God and were to only abide by his laws. So in doing this, no longer would they develop characters resembling what was depicted of the pagan gods, but would instead develop characters resembling the living God. And it was this character of the living God that his people were then to take or accept or wear in their own lives. And if they did this, then they would reveal to others that they had respect for God's name because their very lives worked to advance, to bear, carry, hold, and lift up a correct representation of God's true, holy character. But if their character was different than the character of the living God whom they claim to be followers of, then their lives would work instead to lift up or manifest a false representation of the character of the living God to others. And by giving a false representation of God's true character, while they claim to be a follower of God, then they would expose themselves of lying and deceiving others, and thus be guilty of taking the name of the Lord God in vain and breaking this divine commandment. So this third commandment forbade anyone from believing that they could live like the pagans while still claiming to be followers of God. It showed that profession alone, without corresponding works and actions, was absolutely worthless. True, nominal Christians. If the lives of God's followers were not in harmony with God's name or character, then they showed by their own lives that they were not followers of God at all, but were really deceivers and liars. And Jesus brought out this principle very clearly. If you look at John chapter 8, verses 37 to 45, and also verse 47, Jesus stated, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So this clearly shows us that it's by our lives, our actions and characters, that others can clearly see and know and understand which God or gods we're actually following. So to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain includes living a life that is not Christ-like. And thus we would be breaking the third commandment, taking his name in vain by doing so. So that was the third commandment. What about the fourth commandment? What wisdom can we find of God contained in that commandment? And if you look at quote number four, the fourth commandment is found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, and it states, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now this fourth commandment revealed how God wanted his people to spend their time during each day of the week. The Lord God Michael had plainly told them that 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Michael also revealed that this Sabbath commandment was not something newly created just for the Israelites to keep, but it had been first established at creation, because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. So the Sabbath went all the way back to creation, and it wasn't something newly brought forth just for the Jews. So the first 6 days of the week were nothing more than work days, and these work days were to be spent in earning a living and doing anything and everything else that you wanted or needed to get done. But the seventh day of the week was different. It was not a common day like all the rest. The seventh day was set aside to be a day of rest and worship to God, because the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it after all that he had done in laboring to create the world and everything therein in the first 6 days. And just so no one would forget this fact of truth, Michael began this fourth commandment by stating, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the Sabbath was already in existence just by the word remember. So this Sabbath day of God was a day which Michael chose as his one holy day for all his people to worship him on each week. Just one day in six. But the seventh day specifically. And in Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14, this is made very clear. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So here is very clear indication that the Sabbath day, the seventh day, God considers to be his holy day. Not the first day or any other day of the week, except the seventh day. That is God's holy day. But from ancient times, pagan worshipers had kept the day of the sun, or Sunday, holy, as a special worship day to their deity. And it didn't matter whether it was Bel Marduk, who was the supreme god of the Babylonians, or Amun-Ra, which is the supreme god of the Egyptians, or Baal, who was the supreme god of the Canaanites, or Zeus, who was the supreme god of the Greeks. All of those gods' special worship day was Sunday. But the day which the Lord God Michael chose to be his Sabbath day was not Sunday. It was not the first day of the week, or the second day, or third day, but it was specifically the seventh day of the week, which we know today as Saturday. And this Sabbath worship day to God was not an afterthought. But the Lord God Michael had established his Sabbath day at creation. So you can see that the Sabbath was established before sin had entered into the world, and way before any of the pagan religions had first been developed. So this shows us that those who chose to rebel against the Lord God, refusing to keep his Sabbath day, chose to worship on a different day of the week, and they chose Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor of their supreme sun god to be their special worship day. So Sunday, the first day of the week, had no connection whatsoever with the Lord God of heaven, but was connected with honoring and worshiping the pagan gods who ultimately represented Lucifer himself. So what ramifications does this knowledge have for each one of us today, especially for the followers of God, the Christians? And if you look at quote number 5, this Sabbath day of the Lord God Michael was a special day between him and his people, and the Sabbath actually distinguished God's people from all pagan worshipers. If you worshiped on Saturday, you were not a pagan. If you worshiped on Sunday, you were a pagan. So the Sabbath was a distinguishing sign between God's followers and Lucifer's followers. It was a sign between God and his people, showing that if they kept the Sabbath holy, they were a worshiper of the Lord God, and God was their protector. We're told in Exodus 31, verse 13, "Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it," or the Sabbath, "is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." Also in Exodus 20, verses 12 to 20, "Moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." So the Sabbath day itself was a distinguishing sign or mark between God and his people, while Sunday was itself the day which was a distinguishing sign or mark between Lucifer and his pagan followers. So then the day of worship at that time indicated exactly which people were serving the Lord God and which were not. And it's the very same thing today. As the seventh day of the week today is Saturday, therefore, any who are not keeping the Sabbath day of God as a holy worship day to him are plainly revealing that they are not serving the Lord God of heaven, whom they claim to be worshiping, but they are actually serving another god, depending on the day of the week they choose to keep holy. So if you choose to keep any day holy to God except Saturday, then you're actually worshiping other gods before the Lord. Not just breaking the fourth commandment, but you're also breaking the first commandment. So by the day we keep as a holy day of worship today, just like anciently, shows exactly which god or gods we are really worshiping and whose followers we really are. And this is regardless of what religious or church name we may call ourselves by. So that is the fourth commandment. What about the wisdom of God contained in the fifth as well as the remaining commandments of this divine law? And this is what we'll discover next time. That's just some of the wisdom of God contained in these first four commandments. What other wisdom of God can we find in the remaining six? And it's really exciting when you see and understand a little more of God's wisdom. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. Our closing song is Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest. And truly, the Sabbath is a day to honor, and it is a blessing to keep. Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest, of creation's week the best. Last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First his 6 days work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest. Amen.
Thousands have his planned river, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know, there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appear, through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Gladly we hail, I think I messed it up. Glad we hail his presence blessed, till the great Jehovah's rest. Amen.
Thus I search, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. And it is a blessing indeed to worship God, and by keeping the Sabbath holy, showing our love and appreciation to Him for being our Creator, and for giving us a day of rest to dwell upon Him as well as His works of creation. Truly an honorable day of the Lord, and what a rich blessing it is to rest in His love on that day. All cares of the world are laid aside, and our thoughts are focused on things above. Truly a blessed day. But it's our choice to serve the Lord or to serve another master. I pray we choose the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your written word, inspired by the Holy Ghost upon the minds of men and women to write down. Help us to understand this word by sending your Spirit in rich abundance, and Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Bring conviction and conversion to our hearts. And help us to choose to follow the laws and will of our Creator, because He's the one that is worthy to be praised, to be obeyed and followed. He gave us life. He gave us all things, and especially gave us all heaven in the gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And thank you, Jesus, for being Lord of the Sabbath day. That in loving you for your great love for us, we would be willing to keep your day that you're the Lord of, and to worship you on the seventh day of the week and not any other day of the week as your holy day. Forgive us for taking your name in vain by not living your life in our own, and please help us to change and to reflect your image, and thus give you glory and honor. Please also forgive us for allowing other idols, other things to become of more importance than following you or reading your word of inspiration or practicing it in our lives. For you alone are worthy to be praised, and there is no other gods on this earth but yourself. Help us to recognize and to follow you as our Lord God, as well as our Savior. Help us to think on these things, to dig into the Word of Life, and to learn more of your wisdom contained in your divine law. And let it then guide our lives. Thank you so much for your love, and we love you too. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share as we're now in our after church service? Please go right ahead.
I was just thinking what a blessing it is to have the Sabbath day. We on earth not only can join in with heaven and all the angels, but all of the other created worlds in worshiping the God, the Lord of the Sabbath. What a privilege.
Amen. And as we read in Isaiah 58, if we look upon the Sabbath as a day of blessing, a day of delight and a joy, and we seek to honor God, not finding what we want to do or speak our own words or do our own pleasure, but to keep it according to the holiness and sacredness that God established upon it, then the Sabbath will become to us a delight, a greater blessing to enter into that seventh day than any other day of the week. You know, a lot of people look forward to Sunday. Well, Sunday, that's the day that I'm going to do anything and everything I want to do. And that day becomes more of a delight than any other day of the week. But the Sabbath needs to take that preeminence in our thoughts, in our desires, and in our delight. Truly, there's no other day of the week where we can be blessed as much as in resting in the Lord Jesus Christ on his Sabbath day. It is truly a delight. But you have to experience it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Experience that close blessing and relationship that you can have with Christ Jesus on his holy day. So amen, dear sister. And there's a request for the song Revive Us Again. That's a wonderful hymn. Let me bring it here in the room. And dear brother, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who hath shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Alabe Deidad, entonemos canción, que la fuente infinita de gracia y perdón. Aleluya, te alabamos, cuán grande es tu amor. Aleluya, te adoramos, bendito Señor.
Amen. And God will revive us if we come to him asking for this renewal of our spiritual walk with him. So, amen. Excellent selection, dear brother. Are there any other songs, any other comments, questions, anything else that you'd like to share? And God bless you also, dear Brother Rick, and glad you were able to be with us today in fellowship. But any other thoughts, dear ones, anything else, please feel free. Well, as we're on the topic of the Sabbath, this other hymn came to mind. the temple made of time. God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified. Enter into joy divine in a temple made of time.
See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the rabbis, for he would not heed their laws. Though they killed him on the hillside, as the sun began to fade. But he even kept the Sabbath as they laid him in the grave. Holy dead, purified, set apart, sanctified. Enter in the joy divine in a temple made of time.
Oft forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profane, but the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one. Not for merit or salvation, but because you love my son. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified. Enter into joy divine in a temple made of time. Amen. And enter into that joy divine in Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath.
All right. I've had a request, and I hope to do better this time. Give of your best to the Master.
Give of your best to the Master. Give him the strength of your youth. Throw your whole soul to crush growing ardor into the battle of truth. Jesus has set the example, godless while he young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's armor. Join in the battle. Da lo mejor al maestro, to juventud tu vigor. Dale el ardor de tu alma, lucha de bien favor. Cristo nos dio el ejemplo, siendo joven de valor. Select devoto ferviente, dale tutti lo mejor. Da lo mejor al maestro, en tu mejor. Dale el ardor de tu alma, lucha de bien en favor.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And indeed, God deserves our best at all times. Dear ones, are there any other songs that you'd like to sing or request? Any testimonies? Any questions or comments? And please go right ahead.
Wishing everybody a great rest of the Sabbath and enjoy yourselves and think about all of the blessings God has given. I'll see you Wednesday coming up. Bye. Love you.
Keep looking up, thy God's still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. Oh, do not doubt, but keep on looking up.